Well, we spent the last month dealing with the reality that life is short. There's a brevity to life. And if we were to sit down and take seriously the idea of writing out a bucket list, a list of things that we would like to do before we die, I think that would change our perspective on life. I think if we would ask God to help us number our days so that we could have a wise heart, as the psalmist prayed, I think we would change the way we do things. I think we'd change the way we live. I think we'd do more of the things that would be found on that bucket list. You know, if you've taken time this month to write a bucket list, and I sure hope you have, and if you haven't, then go home this afternoon and spend some time looking at that to help reverse your thinking so that you're looking at the end first and you want to get accomplished everything that is important. And I think as you write your bucket list, if you haven't already, then the items on there would fall underneath the categories that we've been talking about each month. That some of the items on your bucket list would involve those you love, spending more time with your loved ones, loving completely. I think some of the things on your bucket list would be things that you're passionate about, things that you want to do, things that the core of who you are just begs to want to break out and do, and yet you don't do those things because you're trapped in the mundane life that you've got. I think if you had a bucket list, you'd want to live more passionately, and there'd be things on that list that would be more in line with your passion. I think we'd all want to learn more humbly. Because if we realize that our time is short, we wouldn't want to waste time learning from our mistakes. It's so much easier to just go to God and learn from Him and learn from the mistakes that are included in the Bible. We wouldn't waste our time doing that, but rather we'd spend our time learning humbly and putting God first, and making God number one in our life. And last, I would hope that on our bucket list, we would want to leave boldly. Now, leaving boldly is a large topic, so we're just going to take one avenue down the idea of leaving boldly, and that is to leave a legacy. Leaving a legacy, I bring this up in the leaving boldly category because I don't think that many of us think about leaving a legacy. I don't think we think about when our days are up, when our days are numbered, when that last day passes and that last minute passes. I don't think we're thinking about leaving a legacy until, of course, we hit that last hour. And then we think, you know, I wish I would have left a legacy. I hope to maybe leave a legacy here with the last 5 minutes or last 6 months of life that I've got left. But if we reverse our thinking, I think we can start living a legacy today. And you've got to start now. Because the only way to leave a legacy tomorrow is to leave pieces of myself today. It's the only way to leave a legacy. Look at the way Jesus lived. Of all the people in the history of mankind, Jesus understood the brevity of life. He understood, he could comprehend eternity, which we can't comprehend. He understood the brevity of his life here on earth, how short it was. And so we see the things that he wanted to pass on to us, the legacy he wanted to leave behind. And we see that 2,000 years later, we're still sitting in churches talking about the Son of God. That's a legacy. And so we look at him and we look at the things that he shared. He wanted us to know about love. And so was love something that he just shared at the cross? No. Jesus left pieces of himself throughout his lifetime. We just got through studying the Gospel of Matthew through the first part of this year. And we got a chance to see that through all those stories, Jesus left pieces of himself to show us what love is, to leave a legacy of love. I believe Jesus wanted us to live passionately, to follow our passions. And so when we look at him, I believe Jesus is the most passionate man that ever stepped foot on this earth. And he didn't just live passionately at the cross. Jesus lived passionately throughout his life. You look at his life, you look at how he just attacked life. It was with passion. And he did that to pass on to us the legacy of passion, of finding our passion, living passionately. Jesus wanted us to learn humbly. He wants us to learn about the kingdom. He wants us to learn about the Father. He wants us to learn about what it looked like to be part of the kingdom, what people of the kingdom acted like. That wasn't something that he just shared in one lesson at the end of his life. You look through the Gospels and he's constantly sharing piece after piece of himself, leaving behind so that he leaves a legacy of knowledge of the kingdom, of the King, of our Father, of people of the kingdom. So Jesus' legacy was not some speech that was left at the Last Supper. Jesus was constantly handing down his legacy to those who were around him. You have to start leaving pieces of yourself behind today if you want to leave a legacy tomorrow. And the reality that in the grand scheme of it all, we really don't have long to leave a legacy. If you really look at how short your life is, we're just a vapor, according to James. According to Peter, who quoted Isaiah, look at the grass of the field and the flowers. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. That's what our life is like. We don't have long to leave a legacy. So why wait until you get a doctor's note that gives you permission to take 6 months of the end of your life and really live? Why not really live today and start leaving a legacy today instead of waiting for bad test results or a terminal illness? Live like that today and think about your legacy today, because your days are numbered. And realizing how brief our life is helps to uncover another important piece of leaving a legacy. See, realizing the brevity of life reveals the collision of values that I ignore on a daily basis. Now, a collision of values is a term that's used in this book, One Month to Live, the book that's kind of guided this whole journey this month. A collision of values is what happens when the values that you say you have collide with the values that you act out in real life. When your actions contradict what you say about what you value, you have a collision of values. I would say, I love spending time with my family. I want to spend more time with my wife and my kids. But the reality is, I spend a lot of Sundays doing work. Or a lot of Saturdays, rather. A lot of Sundays, of course. That's normal. But a lot of Saturdays. It's supposed to be my day off. And I'm doing things that I should have been doing through the week. And I think, well, it's just a Saturday. But the Saturdays stack up. And what happens is I ignore that. Because it happens just so briefly. But each one of those times stacks up. It's like pennies. Pennies add up to dollars. Dollars add up to hundreds of dollars. Hundreds of dollars add up to a fortune. But it starts with pennies. And when I realize that, I come to a collision of values where what I say I value doesn't meet what my actions say I value. And that's a collision of values. And the brevity of life will help us to realize those. Like, for instance, you say that you care about your health. But then you look back at your last week and what you ate for lunch each day. You know, maybe on Monday it was a Big Mac and a supersized Coke and fries. Or actually, no, it's not a Coke, because if you're going to McDonald's, you'd get the sweet tea, wouldn't you? Yes, and it would be a large. And then Tuesday, you go out and you get yourself a triple Baconator with a biggie size fries, not supersize, wrong company, with a biggie size fries and a biggie size Coke. And then on Wednesday, maybe you'd go out for a couple gorditas and a little bag of cinnamon twists with a large Mountain Dew. And then Thursday rolls around, and you go to Arby's for the big Montana and a large curly fries. And a milkshake just to twist things up. Then on Friday, you get the double Whopper with cheese and onion rings and a large Cherry Coke. And when you look at things like that, you realize, you know, the things I say are valuable to me. they don't always equal the things that I do. And we come into a collision of values. And what happens when you start to realize, when you start writing a bucket list, when you start realizing how short life really is, when you start realizing my days are numbered, when you start living your life backwards, you start to realize those things. Because I guarantee you, if you found out test results Monday that you only had 6 months to live, you'd start acting more like the things that you claim you value. You would spend more time with your family. I think we left here last week, and we had four very practical ways to put God first in our life. I was very encouraged this morning. I had a friend of mine come up to me and say, you know what, you changed my prayer life last week. So I've been involving God in every decision this week. And that's excellent. But I wonder how many of us went home and changed some things. How many of us went home after having four very simple ways that we can put God first in our life, and each day we slept in and we didn't spend our 15 to 20 minutes with God? And of all the decisions we made in the week, we didn't actually talk to God about one. See, we say we want to do things, but our actions do something different, and that's a collision of values. And if you understand the brevity of life, you'll start to notice those more and more, and you'll start to pull things in. If you actually knew that you had 1 month to live, I believe your actions would start matching your stated values. You aren't going to leave a legacy if you continue to ignore this collision of values that happens daily. Once again, when you look at Jesus, you look at how Jesus lived. He never had a collision of values, did he? What Jesus said was valuable was reflected directly in his life, in the energy that he spent, in his time, in his treasures, and his talents were poured into the things that he said was valuable. He said, people are valuable. He poured his resources into people. He said, the kingdom is valuable. He poured his resources into the kingdom. He said, my Father is valuable. Time with my Father is valuable. He poured himself into a relationship with his Father. He had no collision of values, and look at the legacy he left. You want to leave a legacy? Look at the Master. Look how he left his legacy. I have a video clip of a video game that some of you might remember. First service, I struggled with this, but I'm pretty confident that this service is going to pick up on this. How many of you guys recognize that? Ha! You remember that? I mean, raise your hands high. How many of you guys remember that? What video game system was that on? Not just the Atari. 2600. The Atari 2600. State-of-the-art electronics inside a wooden box. So, yes, we... Is he going to make it? Oh. That always made me so nervous. All right, we can pause that. What was the name of that game? Pitfall, yes, we've got a signed copy here I found on the internet. That's not mine. I'm not that much of a geek. I am there in some areas, but not that area. I can let that go. Pitfall. The idea was you had all these obstacles, all these things, these traps, these dangers that would take you over. In fact, the actual definition of pitfall is a trap or a danger that overtakes the unwary. This morning, I want to reveal some pitfalls that stand in between us and leaving a legacy. Some things that hit us when we're not aware of them, when we're not looking for them, but hopefully after today, you'll be looking for them. You'll be watching for them. And one of the first pitfalls that I've observed is that people try to live to please other people. And that's a pitfall. See, when you try to live to please other people, you're not living a legacy because the things you do die when you die. The idea of leaving a legacy is that when you leave a legacy, the things that you do, they will continue after you're gone. That's the idea of a legacy and the idea of no legacy as far as a definition, to be able to put these things in understanding there. So instead of living to please other people, just be yourself. I've got a great Dr. Seuss quote on this. In the words of Dr. Seuss, he says, today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. Classic Dr. Seuss. You know, Jesus wasn't a people pleaser. And he didn't teach us to be people pleasers either. We are to love others. We're to serve others. No doubt. But the only being that we are to live to please is God, the Father in heaven. We waste a lot of time being people pleasers. And the problem is that you need to just honor God and be yourself. Because pleasing God means being the person God made you to be. You're the only you that you can be. You're the only you that exists. God made you special. God knit you together while you're in your mother's womb with talents, with passions, with desires, with skills. And only you have those. So when you spend your time pleasing other people, you're not going to leave a legacy, but when you are yourself, when you're yourself. And I base this also off of what I've observed at funerals, of the number of funerals that I've been a part of, either funerals that I've done myself or team worked in or just actually attended. A lot of the things you hear are not the stories about, well, Dad bought me a Corvette when I was 16. Or, you know, you don't hear about those stories. What you hear about are the stories about them being themselves. Good and bad. But those are the stories that stick with them. Oh, that was just him. Or that's just the way she did things. You'll hear those things when people are sharing with you about a loved one that's passed. And most of what they share, if that person left any kind of a quality of a life behind, was they remember who they were. And so I take that into consideration. I say, you know what? If that's the only part that lasts, that's where I'm going to leave a legacy. I'm not going to leave a legacy in pleasing people. I'm going to leave a legacy by pleasing God and just being the me that God made me to be. Because that's what people will remember. That's what will go on after you've passed. Every year, growing up, we used to take a family trip down to the beaches. And in fact, that's one of the things on my bucket list before my parents get too old to enjoy that. I'd like to take another trip. It's been many, many years since we've gone together as a family to the beach. It was something we did every year, and it was just a custom of ours, and it got broken somewhere along the line, and you know how that happens. You get out of routine. And I know walking down the beaches, sometimes you just, you go to the beach, you got to take a long walk on the beach. That's what you do. And you walk, and you have to be somewhat skilled at this because you have to determine when you're half tired. Because whatever distance you've already walked, you're going to have to walk that back. And so of our beach trips, we learned where that line was, and we stayed in a similar hotel, and we had a pier. And so sometimes you'd walk, and you'd see these just masterful sandcastles that were just created, and a lot of time was spent on them, a lot of talent, a lot of money was spent. Well, not a whole lot, but at least more money than I would have spent on a sandcastle, because they've got fancy-shaped buckets. And different size buckets and different type of buckets. Buckets to make walls, buckets to make towers, buckets to make little towers on top of the big towers. And they're just masterfully done. And as you walk by, you think, wow, that's a beautiful sandcastle. And then you keep on going and you get to wherever your turnaround point is and you turn around. And sometimes as you're walking back, the tide comes in. And you come across a soggy lump of sand and you realize that was the sandcastle that used to be there. And now it's just a soggy lump of sand. And I bring that up because I think a lot of times we spend our talents, our treasures, our time on sandcastles in life. Things that won't last. In fact, a lot of the sandcastles you build, you'll see them wash away. And it's wasted time. It's wasted effort. Think of all the time that you pour into your sandcastles, things that wash away. And some of these might be hobbies. Some of these might be toys. Some just might be wasted time. You're just not doing anything with your time. And you think you're doing something productive, and it's just going to wash away tomorrow. Watch out for those, because the time, the energy, your talents, your treasures, if you poured them into building relationships instead of building sandcastles, then you'd be leaving a legacy. So I think a lot of us get to the latter years of our life and we realize that we've spent a lot of time building sandcastles and we missed out on the relationships that we could have had with people. Don't do that. Don't wait till the end of your life to get there. Build relationships. Spend time building relationships. I've got another way we can look at this. Come out and get some experts. Terry West, he works with the ground. He's rah, rah, rah. Are those pebbles or seeds?
Seeds.
He's got seeds. All right, let's get over here. What we got here, sir? Pebbles or seeds?
Seeds.
You think it's seeds too? Pebbles or seeds?
I would say seeds.
Say seeds? They're real close on it, though. Real close. What if they're pebbles? What if you're all wrong? You're all right, actually. They're seeds. But it was tough, wasn't it? You're thinking, man, I'm sweating. Do you need tissue? We've got tissues if you need something. Poor guys, you got put on the spot. Anybody, you all right? Okay. Swipe the forehead, get all the beads of sweat. Man, what's he doing? Seeds and pebbles, they're very similar. And my experts here, they were tough to decipher. They very well could have been pebbles. But they are seeds. That's another way of looking at this, is the difference between pebbles and seeds. You guys can write that down and I'll unpack it for you. Difference between pebbles and seeds. A lot of times in our life, we spend a lot of our time burying pebbles. We take things that are just, it's just a pebble. Nothing's going to happen from it. Nothing's going to come from it. Very similar to sandcastles, but just a different approach, just in case a sandcastle thing didn't communicate. And you plant pebbles and nothing comes out of the ground. And you wait and you wait and you wait and nothing comes up. Why? It's a pebble. But when you spend your time planting seeds, what happens to a seed when you plant it? It germinates. Ooh, professional opinion here. It germinates. It grows. It sprouts up and it produces a flower or even better, a big old tree. And so when you look at your life, I think we need to become more conscious of what's a pebble and what's a seed. Because I believe that a lot of us waste a lot of time planting pebbles. And pebbles will not leave a legacy. But if we spend our time planting seeds, things like building relationships, things like sharing values, then those things will grow and grow. And I'm going to butcher a David Henry Thoreau quote. I didn't write it down, but I remember reading it just recently, and that was that the idea was that a whole forest is contained in a single acorn. And so when you plant seeds, not only are you planting seeds that grow into something larger than what you would if you were planting pebbles, but that reproduces, that continues on. That's what a legacy is. So determine in your life what's a seed and what's a pebble. So I believe that's a pitfall that we fall into. Jesus talked about the value of seeds, didn't he? In fact, it was often that Jesus used a seed to describe the kingdom of heaven, the ultimate legacy. I mean, the mothership of legacies. And so if that's how Jesus described what a legacy looks like, then that's where we should be putting our time, talents, and treasures in the seeds, in the things that will grow, in the kingdom activities. If you want to leave a legacy, you got to trade your pebbles for seeds. Another pitfall that I see that we fall into is the pitfall of control. We like our control, don't we? We like to be in control. Everybody, no one's looking at me. I have no eye contact. Everyone just automatically, oh no, he's going there. Come on, it's all right. We all feel this way. We like to be in control. I'm going to make this happen. How many of us, we said that, right? I'm going to take control of this. Or we tell our loved ones, don't worry about it. I got it all under control. But what happens when you die? What happens when you're gone? Who's going to make it happen then? If you had it, whatever it is, under control, then when you die, it is not under control anymore. When you die, your control goes with you. That's how we're measuring what is a legacy and what's not a legacy. If you want to leave a legacy, then The word that you want to replace with control in your daily life is influence. Influence takes more resources, it takes more time, it takes more effort, it takes more energy. But if you influence situations and other people, then your influence will live long after you are gone. Think about your home, your spouse, or your kids. If you work to control your home, when you die, it's gone. And sometimes it can pendulum the other way. Or vice versa, when they leave the house. But if you influence, if you take your time and your energy and you influence and you instill values and you give to them an influence, then that influence will carry on for generations to come far beyond your years. Think about at work. A lot of times at work we think, we need job security, so I got to control things. I control these numbskulls that work underneath me. Because if I don't, they're going to go crazy. I have to control this, I have to control that. But what if you took a different outlook on that? What if you went to work to influence those who worked with you or those who you supervised? If you influence them, then they're going to continue on doing what you've asked them to do, what you've taught them to do, what you've instilled in them as values. And not only is the company going to be better because of that, but those people that you interact with are going to be better people because of it. And they're going to learn how to influence instead of control. Something I realized about control is that oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes control is based on the product, not the people. Influence is based on the people, not the product. And to get the people heading in the right direction, the product's going to take care of itself. I think it'd be interesting to go through and take a look and see how often Jesus influenced instead of controlled. There are a number of different places that I could pull up. I encourage you to go through the Gospels. Take a look at what Jesus did there. Now, the whole point of this series, I don't know if you've seen it underneath the logo that's been around, but it's that faded two words, no regrets. Looking at your bulletins. Is it in the bulletins? It's not on the screen. I didn't have room to put it on there and still have room for words. Whole idea of this series is so that we can live with no regrets. So that when we die, we don't look back and say, you know what? I really regret not doing this or not doing that. And in fact, if you think about some of the things that you do regret, you rarely regret the things you did. Mostly you reflect the things, or you regret the things that you didn't do. I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. And when we look at this list behind us on your bulletins, everything in the left column here, that if you spend your time on items that fall under those categories, I am going to guarantee you, you will regret those things. You'll regret building sandcastles instead of building relationships. You'll regret burying pebbles instead of planting seeds. You'll regret taking control over things instead of influencing people and having an impact in their life. You'll regret pleasing people instead of being yourself. You want to live life and regret the things you do, then you live in that left-hand column. You live on that side. But you want to leave a legacy. You want to live life in such a way that you end your life with no regrets. Isn't that where we want to be? Why wait for a doctor's notice? Why wait for a 6 months time given to you by the doctor? Why wait for a terminal disease to start living with no regrets? Do it now. Do it today. Because the only way you're going to leave a legacy tomorrow is to start leaving pieces of yourself today. You have to come into contact and understand that daily you ignore a collision of values. And so understand the brevity of life and pull that together. And live with no regrets. Live in that right-hand column. The author of this book really sums it up best. This book here that we've been using to guide our series. Carrie Shook says, "To leave a legacy, I must pour my most valuable resources into the investments with the greatest return." Think about your most valuable resources. Time, talents, your treasures. And you take those and you pour them in to the investment that's going to give you the greatest return. And every time, that's going to be people. You invest your life into people. You leave pieces of yourself behind in people. You place people as high values. You build relationships with people. You plant seeds in people. People. Invest in people. Do you want to live in such a way that when you're gone, everything you've done is gone with you? Live with regrets? Then keep on living your life the way you're living it. But you want to do something different. You want to change. You want to do something. It's got to be radical. And take a step out. Live life like there's no tomorrow. And start living with no regrets. And leave a legacy for those so that everything you've done in life will live on way past you. And that's value. That's value in living.